This is Jim Sklavounis of Grinderman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members, and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Rachel Mandenbaum in Atlanta, Georgia. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service NOAA Newscast, July the 15th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden called on Americans to lower the temperature and political rhetoric in an address from the Oval Office on Sunday night. NBC calls them high-profile remarks in the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump. They quote Biden as saying disagreement is inevitable in American democracy. Biden added that politics should never turn into a killing field. The speech is only the third Biden delivered from the Oval Office during his term. Presidents typically reserve the Oval Office for speeches they believe are of the highest national importance. NBC notes that national unity was the theme Biden first emphasized when he took office, but in a tough re-election fight, they say it's largely been set aside. Meantime, Utah Governor Spencer Cox is calling for unity, as well as the condemnation of political violence.
Cox has chaired the National Governors Association and led its Disagree Better initiative, which examines the issues surrounding political polarization in the country, while also looking to cultivate solutions and a culture of respect and civility. On Sunday, Cox took to X, formerly known as Twitter, and shared his closing statements from the association's recent summer meeting and said he found his sentiments to be more important and relevant following Saturday's shooting tragedy.
We can make this a better place. We can love each other again. We can disagree without hating each other. We can have passionate debates, and we do.
Cox is among one of many political leaders that is now calling for unity and for the heated political rhetoric to subside. President Joe Biden described the violence that took place on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, as sick and said everyone must condemn the attack. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Meantime, civil rights groups are sounding the alarm about potential threats to American democracy posed by Project 2025. They say it is a roadmap created by the Heritage Foundation for the next Republican president.
The 900-page document calls for dismantling key protections against discrimination, access to reproductive health care, and more. Maya Wiley with the Leadership Council on Civil and Human Rights says Project 2025 aims to undo gains made 60 years ago with the passage of the Civil Rights Act, but she says this agenda isn't new.
And either we're going to stand on the victory of ending slavery and of understanding the role of a federal government in ensuring that we all have civil rights, or we will not have a democracy. legacy, and this is a blueprint for ending it.
Donald Trump has recently distanced himself from Project 2025 after praising the Heritage Foundation's plans in 2022. Heritage says the roadmap, which was co-authored by top Trump advisors, does not speak for any single candidate. It just provides recommendations. Many of those track closely with Trump's priorities, including removing regulations and checks on presidential power. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is Public News Service. Next up to New England, where forecasters warn to prepare for an above-normal number of hurricanes this summer.
Hurricane Beryl was already the strongest Atlantic hurricane on record for both June and July and brought damaging floods to the region last week. Dr. Jordan Jones is a climate scientist with the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, who says a cooling La Nina phase in the Pacific combined with a record warm Atlantic are creating dangerous conditions.
When we have these very clear signals within the environment, it's clear that we're going to get a highly active hurricane season, and we know that from history.
She's referring to the 2020 hurricane season, which generated a record 30 named storms. The National Hurricane Center predicts up to 25 named storms this season, with 4 to 7 major hurricanes by the end of November. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Remnants of Hurricane Beryl washed away roads last week, leaving people stranded in parts of Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Meantime, folks in Oregon have until July the 22nd to submit their comments on the implementation of some new environmental restrictions for the state's largest farms.
When the Oregon legislature passed Senate Bill 85 last year, these regulations were signed into law for confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. Now, the Oregon Department of Agriculture is working to implement them. Brian Posowitz, a staff attorney for Water Watch of Oregon, says the new rules will help protect one of Oregon's most important natural resources.
All Oregonians should care about that because all Oregonians should care about our water supplies, both in the streams and rivers, as well as in the groundwater, because those water supplies are precious to everybody.
The regulation means more closely monitoring the amount of water used by large farms and considering the placement of these operations to try to reduce the nitrate contamination in groundwater caused by manure. This move to protect Oregon's water supply coincides with an increase in demand for water as the state re-enters its wildfire season. I'm Mason Kennedy.
Finally, from our newest producer on the growing Public News Service team, Will Walkie reports it is being called an historic milestone. 200 people have been exonerated after being sentenced to death.
The exonerees were wrongfully convicted because of misconduct from government officials or other factors, and then set free after being behind bars, sometimes for decades. Robin Marr with the Death Penalty Information Center says cases like this have been devastating, not just for individual families, but for the nation.
Communities really lose confidence in the integrity of the legal system and its ability to respond appropriately and keep them safe.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting a week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. You can hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, July 15th. We are 54% of the way through the year. There are 69 days left until the fall equinox. Nice. Local early morning temperatures range from 62 degrees in Medusa to 76 in Red Hook. Air quality will be moderate. Heat advisories are out, especially in the valley. So are UV warnings. So today is a good day to be a mole person. Because topside rain is expected, chances show up after 11 a.m. and will vary from town to town. A high temperature of 94 happens at 3 p.m. Rain ends a little after midnight, and we see a low temp of 70 degrees. Tomorrow, hot and rainy again, high of 91 at 2 p.m. Shortly after, rain arrives, bringing along some thunder. That situation continues overnight. Humid, rainy, low of 72 with a matching dew point. Wednesday, more rain, high of 86. Thursday, looks like rain is possible, high of 82. Weekend is looking dry so far. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:12 a.m., high tide at 10:22 a.m., low tide again at 5:05 p.m., then high tide once again at 11:05 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 8:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be slow at 304 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 28 megahertz overnight. Hey, anyone still using a CB may have some luck. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 212. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
That was Fawn Fables, their song Eternal from their 2004 record Family Album, and Fawn Fables are coming to town. I'm Tom Rowe in Catskill, New York, counting down local community events this week in the WGXC listening area. On Monday, July 15th, the freak folk band Fawn Fables perform at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with Days and Widow opening. Also on Monday, July 15th, and also on Tuesday, July 16th, Folk Implosion is coming to Tubby's in Kingston. They're playing both Monday and Tuesday, and both shows are sold out. Here is the Folk Implosion with Natural One from back in the days when they were on the kids' soundtrack. We'll be right back.
chasing me through rivers like I'm prey. But you're the only one to eat me. And I'm learning to receive what keeps me safe. Your spirit is strong.
That was Walk Through Me, the title track from the latest Folk Implosion album. Wednesday, July 17th, Brooklyn-based but from France, cellist Lila Bourdieu, who has performed at the Whitney Museum, PS1, Roulette, Lincoln Center, and other places, is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with Apologist from Philadelphia and Spall. Here's Lila Bourdieu with Head Flush, the title track from her 2019 album, Head Flush. On Thursday, July 18th, Don't Let Start and Robot Hand perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Don't Let Start are a brand new Hudson Valley They Might Be Giants tribute band. That includes the Avalon Lounge's Liam Singer. They Might Be Giants with Don't Let Start. Also Thursday, July 18th, Thalia Zedek's band EE performs with Marissa Peterson from the Screaming Females and new local band Sweet Harm at Tubby's in Kingston. Every Thursday, the Catskill Artist and Creative for Housing Equity, or CATCH group, holds its weekly meeting. See its CATCH Action Instagram account for details. On Friday, July 19th, local artist Maeve McCool and Sarah Flock have a art show opening called Drifting, and the opening is from 5 to 9. It's in conjunction with the Lexington Arts and Science Group, and it's at 3879 New York 42 in Lexington. On Saturday, July 20th at 2 p.m., TSL in Hudson has a live National Theatre of London screening of Present Laughter, and at 3 p.m. they show Vittoria De Sica's 1948 classic Bicycle Thieves. From 5 to 7 p.m., photographer David Laspina has his first show in a decade at Comfortably Unknown, 438 and a half Warren Street in Hudson. Then, if you're looking for sales, there's plenty of sales Saturday, July 20th. The Junkertown Flea Market and at Sideshow Vintage Clothing on Route 23 in Craryville is from 9 to 3 p.m. There's still room for vendors to get in for $25 a shot. And also this weekend, both Saturday, July 20th and Sunday, July 21st, is the first Basilica Hudson Summer Farm and Flea. Basilica Hudson is hosting the Farm and Flea sale from both Saturday, July 20th and Sunday, July 21st, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. There'll be all sorts of vendors, special things like a tattoo pop-up with members of the band Beethoven and others. So turn out for those sales at the Junkertown Flea Market Saturday, July 20th, and the Summer Farm and Flea at Basilica Hudson, the 20th and the 21st. I'm Tom Rowe in Catskill. This has been some of what's going on in your community. Here's Beethoven with Birdseye.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Saratoga Black Lives Matter has filed another lawsuit against Saratoga city officials and police for alleged unlawful, wanton, racist actions to retaliate against Black Lives Matter protesters. It also includes some interference, child protective services, with respect to the family of Alexis Figueroa. And we've asked on both Alexis and Mark Missler, the attorney, to sort of describe this sort of ongoing problems with the Saratoga police, even after the attorney general and previous court has stepped in and ruled against Saratoga. So perhaps we'll start with Alexis. What's the crux of the present lawsuit?
I mean, I think it's plain and simple. The Saratoga Springs Police Department, as well as the city and officials have continually targeted my group. They continue to show the differences when it's a group that's, you know, known as the Proud Boys and groups like that who come to our city to demonstrate, who are met with no police and no reactions at all whatsoever. But when we go out there and we speak and we talk, there's always some kind of retribution on their part to us, which most happens with charges being filed against me. So that's where we are right now. And, you know, that's the basis of it.
I know one of the recent situations, Saratoga Black Lives Matter have been fairly active in supporting, you know, trying to stop the ongoing attacks in Gaza. And so there was, I guess you were arrested for, you know, leading a march in the city with what they called an unpermitted, you know, rally about Gaza. So is that also part of what's triggering the present lawsuit?
I mean, yes, it is, of course. Once again, and even after the report came out from the Attorney General's report, the Saratoga Springs Police Department and Tim Cole, the Public Safety Commissioner, doesn't seem to understand that the Attorney General said that you guys cannot keep on targeting me specifically, let alone my group. And it seems that Saratoga Springs doesn't really care about it. They're just going to keep going and keep doing what they do.
And Mark, maybe could you give us a brief overview of what has been some of the previous legal lawsuits, challenges to the city? Alexis made reference to the Attorney General, and, you know, what's the legal basis for the present litigation?
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having us on, Mark. So I guess what I want to, Alexis said this is really simple, and on some level, it is the simplest thing in the world that in our country, people are not supposed to be punished and retaliated against and arrested for exercising rights that are protected by our precious First Amendment. And in addition to that, people are not supposed to be discriminated against on the basis of race. And what has happened in Saratoga Springs is there's really been a confluence both of First Amendment violations, but particularly targeted First Amendment violations based on racial justice advocacy and based on the race of the people engaged in the advocacy. And so our lawsuit brings up 3+ years of interferences and retaliation by the city and city officials and the police with basic exercise of First Amendment protected rights by racial justice and police accountability activists, including but not limited to Saratoga BLM and its members and leaders and support. And the First Amendment protects the right to speak, the right to express oneself, the right to assemble, the right to associate with others, and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's what Saratoga BLM and others working with them have been doing since 2020. And the city just doesn't like it, and they don't get it. They don't get that they have to allow this kind of advocacy to continue. So there's all these things that they've done to interfere with those rights. And it's compounded, as I said, by the racism involved. So, you know, the only people targeted have been racial justice advocates, not, as Lexis said, the Proud Boys or other people who are against positive and progressive change in the city of Saratoga Springs. And in particular, you know, while a number of people have been arrested over the course of 3 years, they seem to have placed a particular target on Lexis as, you know, one of the leaders of Saratoga BLM. And so so this lawsuit really is an attempt to voice those legal issues, the central core issues of our Constitution in the First Amendment, the central core issue in the 14th Amendment of equal protection of the law. And then we also have a claim about family interference with family association rights, because the leaders of the city conspired to bring child protective services complaints against Lexis, as well as one of the other plaintiffs, Gabrielle Elliott, in regard to their children. These are baseless, unfounded complaints. But that's a quite scary thing to go through. And we've also alleged that this is really all a conspiracy. And under the federal law, not only can you not violate people's civil rights, but you can't engage in a conspiracy to violate people's equal protection rights. And that's really what has happened here from the top to the bottom. Mayors, commissioners of public safety, police chiefs, and many police officials and officers who have all participated in committing acts that are essentially part of a conspiracy to violate the civil rights of members and leaders of Saratoga BLM.
And, you know, you mentioned Gabrielle, who's, I guess, Lex's partner, and, you know, Serena Time Union, you know, she was arrested when she showed up to the police station to check on Lexis, and they basically dragged her as she was, you know, holding her stroller with two of her children, and they were crying on the sidewalk, and that, you know, led to this child protective service investigation, apparently, by the former mayor. But, I mean, Lexis, sort of a question is, I mean, I've been an elected official, you know, previously, and, you know, at some point, common sense comes in is when the attorney general and the courts are telling Saratoga, hey, you're violating these people's rights. Why isn't there a common sense response? You know, it's sort of time to move on and just drop this and behave properly. Why does seem to be such a problem with Saratoga continuing to, you know, confront the Black Lives Matter exercising the First Amendment rights?
Well, I got an easy answer for you. The Saratoga Springs city of Saratoga Springs leadership, a lot of them are racist. This is a racist tactic that's clear to say that Black people speaking in the city should not be heard. And things that Black people are saying are untrue. And people that are from unprivileged areas of the city, you know, that their voices are to not be heard. And, you know, Saratoga Springs has never been held accountable for any of the actions that they have done. Especially when it comes down to race issues. So for the first time ever since 2020, we've been challenging the city and challenging the system to call out the racisms and the you know, things that are done in the city that are not done correctly or with equity at all. And, you know, that's the reason why we haven't let up. I've said it a lot of times in a lot of different interviews. You know, Saratoga Springs believed that when Saratoga BLM and BLM came to Saratoga and started their, you know, started this movement, that this was a fad. But they see that it's continuing to go on for at least 4 years now. It's going to continue going on for years after that. They want it stopped and they want it ended. That's it. That's why.
So we have about a minute left. You know, so you want to share any closing statement? And I assume, of course, litigation, this is something that's going to drag on. And you know, since the Attorney General has previously supported, you know, Black Lives Matter against the city, or any possibility of intervening in the last 45 seconds?
Yep. The only thing I would say is that, you know, hopefully for finally, the city of Saratoga Springs will be held accountable. The city of Saratoga Springs hasn't even been able to apologize or acknowledge any of the harms they have done to us whatsoever. And I think, once again, like the most craziest thing that they did was, you know, calling CPS as a direct, you know, threat to my family and my children, trying to tear apart a family for somebody speaking out too much, so-called. And, you know, that's.
Yeah, quickly, I just want to say, I mean, what they've done is caused real harm and real pain, and people have suffered because of the city's actions. And, you know, what's remarkable to me is that the activists involved in Saratoga BLM, like, stick with it. They're in this for the long haul. It is a long haul. And they are not going to be intimidated. The city thought that they could, like, intimidate people into shutting up. Obviously, they were wrong. And so, you know, people deserve something for the pain and the harm and injuries that they've suffered. And the city needs to sort of decide whether they're going to just continue to act in a way that maintains and continues, you know, traditions of white supremacy, or are they going to try to make positive change that really reflects all of the people who live in and work in and come to Saratoga Springs?
And I guess that leads my last question. So, you know, what are some of the remedies you're pursuing in the lawsuit? Is it, you know, just once again try to get Saratoga to behave properly? Are you seeking any monetary damages? What remedies have you asked for?
You know, the legal system can't change the world. And I don't think any of us think that this is going to change the world. What the legal system can do, hopefully, is number one, provide redress in the form of compensation for people who've been harmed, that their constitutional rights violated. And that's certainly what we're looking for here. And we also hope that this tool can send a message to the city and city leaders that, whether they like it or not, they have to come into the 21st century, or really come into the 20th century, and recognize the role that racism plays in our society and commit themselves to working to solve that rather than to perpetuate it.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Saratoga Black Lives Matter leader, Lissis Figueroa, and also with Mark Messler, the attorney in the lawsuit recently filed. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Calling all radio enthusiasts. Have you ever wanted to be on the radio or learn how to edit audio? Got a great idea for a short segment to play during our drive time shows? Start making radio with us at WGXE 90.7 FM as part of the WGXE Community Contributors Program. No prior experience needed. For more information, contact content at WGXE.org. That is CONTENT at WGXE.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
An assassination attempt is contrary to everything we stand for as a nation, everything. It's not who we are as a nation. It's not America. And we cannot allow this to happen.
President Joe Biden condemning political violence following the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump at an election rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Biden ordered a review of security measures for the Republican National Convention set to start today and called for a separate review of security for Saturday's rally. The FBI has identified 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks as the shooter. He was killed by the Secret Service. Crooks was a registered Republican, but records show he had made a small contribution to a progressive group in 2021. The motive is still under investigation. The Republican Party of Wisconsin says there won't be major changes at the RNC for now. Attendees have started arriving in Milwaukee, including Brenda Malewski, who calls Trump the best person to unite the country.
We still have the confidence knowing that Trump's going to be that person. We can have peace if you want it, all right? Let's just value people with differences.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina tells NBC he wishes he was surprised by the assassination attempt, but says he's been worried about something like that happening for a long time.
He represents a point of view that millions share. The rhetoric is way too hot, but I was just grateful that he made it. But let's don't forget, there's a man who lost his life by attending a political rally. He's dead.
A former Buffalo Township fire chief was killed in the shooting. According to spectators and his family, Corey Comparator died shielding his wife and daughters. Two other attendees were also shot but are reportedly in stable condition. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is calling on all leaders to speak and act with moral clarity.
We're all leaders need to take down the temperature and rise above the hateful rhetoric that exists and search for a better, brighter future for this nation.
On Friday, Biden held a highly anticipated news conference, trying to quell fears about his abilities. But Democratic Colorado Congressman Jason Crow says the party risks losing the election unless there's what he calls a major change.
In reading the tea leaves is very troubling for many of us right now. So we want to see a change.
There are now a total of 19 congressional Democrats calling for Biden to step aside. Finally, North Carolina has become the seventh state to put a state constitutional amendment on the November ballot that would require proof of citizenship to vote. Republican State Senator Phil Berger says it's needed to combat voter fraud, despite a lack of any evidence that non-citizen voting is an actual problem.
You can make a legalistic argument that something like that is already prohibited. However, I don't see any harm in including that as a constitutional amendment.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, July 15th. We are 54% of the way through the year. There are 69 days left until the fall equinox. Nice. Local early morning temperatures range from 62 degrees in Medusa to 76 in Red Hook. Air quality will be moderate. Heat advisories are out, especially in the valley. So are UV warnings. So today is a good day to be a mole person. Because topside rain is expected, chances show up after 11 a.m. and will vary from town to town. A high temperature of 94 happens at 3 p.m. Rain ends a little after midnight and we see a low temp of 70 degrees. Tomorrow, hot and rainy again, high of 91 at 2 p.m. Shortly after, rain arrives, bringing along some thunder. That situation continues overnight. Humid, rainy, low of 72 with a matching dew point. Wednesday, more rain, high of 86. Thursday, looks like rain is possible, high of 82. Weekend is looking dry so far. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:12 a.m., high tide at 10:22 a.m., low tide again at 5:05 p.m., then high tide once again at 11:05 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 8:16 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be slow at 304 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 28 megahertz overnight. Hey, anyone still using a CB may have some luck. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 212. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hello?
Tell them who you are.
This is Electro Kitty, and next to me is
Zapdog.
Zapdog right there is a visiting member of the DJ Society. Bum, bum, bum. Last time we had, what was it? You know, I don't remember. But last time we had another visitor. So shout out to Meow Meow Kitty for being my other partner and DJ. So let's
who's
get on.
Your partner tonight?
Yeah. My other partner is Zapdog.
He's got his own mic too now.
Okay.
And then now I will be playing some from Information Society.
It is useless to resist us. The space age. The space age. the space page.
This is Down Under by Men at Work. And so,
here we go.
We'll be right back. much to say. I said to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Because I come from the land of plenty. And he said, oh, you come from the land of plenty. Yeah. Women more and men wonder. Can you hear the thunder? Ah. You better run, you better take cover.
Next, we have some from Tommy Boy Information Society. Here we go.